Talking about the way of life we are trying to lead. We started with a new life, Atma Bodha. Then we pulled down the pranic currents into our bodies. That is the Pavana Muktasana series, where every joint of ours is infused with the life of the prana. Just three times for every joint. Not more than that is not required. That is enough. But the most important thing that you should remember is your thought follows the action. When you do this, the thought must be there. When I do this, the thought must be in the ankle. When I do this, at the knee. When I do this, at the hip joint. When I do this, lower back. When I do this, the higher part of the backbone and neck. Right? So it is the thought that is important, you remember. It should flow with your actions. And after that, we should have a yoga between karmendriyas and jnanendriyas. This yoga, where the knowledge is linked with action. In ancient yogic system is known as the Brahmana power linking with the Kshatriya power. Kshatriya is the muscle. You understand, the warrior. And Brahmana is one who can think, who can expand. And it has nothing to do with birth. And as fools, the great problems of the caste system. The caste is mind-born. It has nothing to do with your physical birth. But unfortunately, all of us who read Gita don't see the real gist of it. Guna karma svabhavachaha. This division of caste system is based on three aspects. Guna, karma and svabhava. And all the history of our rishis proves it. They have become rishis, maharshis, rajarshis, brahmarshis and devarshis. We don't know the difference between these states also. For us, a maharshi is as good as a devarshi. A rishi is like a 10th class in our education. In spiritual education, a rishi is a 10th class. Maharshi is the intermediate. He has to decide now which way he goes. Rishi, Maharshi. And then you have the Rajarshi, the degree. And then you have the Brahmarshi, the postgraduate. And the Devarshi, the research scholar. All are educated, but there is a change or a level in education. But this education gives you a knowledge of a particular subject. And what rishis are trying to understand is life. And life means life in all its aspects. Right from the mineral level of life to whatever higher planes of life that you can go. And that doesn't mean that you have reached all the levels of life. A research scholar continues research, whether 5,000 years back or 5,000 years later, only his level of approach changes. So the evolution has no stoppage. We evolve, and the humanity is at the level of mind. It has to evolve into the supermind. And that supermind in our yogic shastras is known as the Vijnanamaya Kosha. And scientists, the Vijnana, are the proof of that evolution. All of us must become scientists. What is the difference? The present day scientists try to understand the lower nature, the minerals, the plants, the animals. Chemistry and physics concentrate on the materialistic aspects of life. Botany, the plants. Geologists, the animals. And now, we are supposed to approach life in the same way, in a scientific way. And what is scientific way? Using common sense. The scientist gathers knowledge and try to understand a common principle running throughout the experiments. And the rishis, the scientists of life, have understood a common principle running throughout the whole levels of evolution of life. The evolution of life can also be told the evolution of consciousness. You can call it as a mineral life or a mineral consciousness. You can call it as a plant life or a plant consciousness. Only the stress differs when you say consciousness. But it is life in its generality. And when we talk about the mind, we have three levels of mind. The conscious mind, the subconscious mind, and then the superconscious mind. The superconscious mind is also known as the abstract mind. And the subconscious mind is also the mind which records the all data, but at present is not using the data. That is subconscious. When you are talking as a parent, all other relationships are subconscious. In your workplace, other relations are subconscious. In the playground, other relations are subconscious. Am I clear about it? So subconscious is what already you have. You have. Your brain has. You have to just look at that. That comes up. And it can be done at the same instant also. In a marriage party you attend, you are speaking to so many relationships. All at the same time, you are talking to the son, you are talking to the daughter-in-law, you are talking to a friend, you are talking to a very advisable man who is probably is helping you to conduct the marriage. Am I making myself clear? Subconscious is what already your brain has. Your brain cells have stored it. And superconscious is what your brain cells don't know, but it can get if certain experiments are done from other sources. That is what is known as the expert opinion. You need not have that knowledge. Your brain need not have that knowledge. But someone has that knowledge. For example, we are sick, we don't have the medical knowledge. In the subconscious mind of the doctor, he has the knowledge of certain types of diseases which he can cure, depending upon his expertise. Now you go there. What happens now? from his subconscious memory, he brings that which is needful to you and advises you. And this advice you follow, but this advice is not your brain's contribution. It is the other man's contribution. But how he got to this knowledge, you don't know. Am I clear? You know that you have to take this medicine, you have to. Am I clear? About your abstract mind. So the abstract mind is something which is not yours. When I say yours, I mean your brains, brain cells. But you can get it with the help of someone who has that knowledge which he acquired from some other source and stores it in his brain cells. Naturally, you don't know how he got it. You only get the result. Then if you know how he got it, then what happens? It is not super conscious. It becomes subconscious. Am I clear about that? So abstract, present and subconscious. When I say present, I mean the conscious mind, that present, are all parts of the brain of different people. And what did that different people do? They gathered information from the mind. This mind is very important. You should understand what is mind. Where is that located? We don't know where the mind is located, even though we say about mind, we talk about mind. Even psychologists don't know where the mind is. The seat of mind is, of course, the brain. When you say the seat of the mind, naturally, the sitter is someone else. So about mind, keep these points in clear. And now the brain, the mind, individual mind, your brain uses the knowledge as a tool for its karmendriyas. And this approach towards jnana and karma is known as yama and niyama. And we have naturally, because there are 5 sense organs and 5 water organs or actions or activity. Let us say in the Sanskrit, Jnanendriyas and Karmendriyas. There are only 5 Yamas and 5 Niyamas. You can't have more than that. If you have, there must be sub of this. The two importance, Jnanendriya and Karmendriya, are what is the mind and the brain. These fingers. This is what is known as Brahmacharya, the right hand. And this is known as Ishvara Pranidhana, the left hand. Right and left, theoretically we say that which is active is right, karma. Then that which just receives is left. So don't confuse with this and this. If you want this to be yama and this to be niyama, okay. The only thing is, they are tools to remember the 5 yamas and 5 niyamas. And remember, if you understand this, you have the clue to how to live. And the most important thing which I was telling you about, the first aspect of life is to free yourself from past mistakes. Many people say that they have a right to decide, but your right of decision making is limited. For example, you are standing and I say lift a leg. Lift a leg. So you can either lift the right leg or the right leg. So you chose, up goes the right leg. And now I say lift the left leg. Can you do it? That means without falling, of course. then what you will have to do? You have to do prashchitta. What is the prashchitta? The right leg which you have lifted must be put down. Then only you can go for the other leg to go up. Am I clear about this? The diseases are the unwanted actions which we have done. That is why you are suffering. But remember, I am talking about unwanted actions, and actions have their own value. When you kill somebody in anger, you are hanged. But when you kill somebody, not somebody, but many bodies in a war, you are not hanged, you are praised. So the actions by themselves are not right or wrong, you remember. It is when and why you do it, and where you do it. Am I clear about that also? So what is good and right for someone may be bad and wrong for someone. And now what happens in diseases and other things, this is a mistake we do. We don't try to analyze what is the mistake, not a mistake. The disease you are getting, the trouble you have, is something which has been done wrongly. This is the approach. Am I clear about it? This has to be very clear. Then only you can understand these nyasas which you have to practice every day. The first is brahmacharya, the five yamas, and then of course the five niyamas. And all this we do with these five fingers. And remember, your energy is also fivefold. And from where do we get energy for living? From breath. And all the medical men know that when you breathe, automatically your breath is compartmentalized into five lobes. There are three lobes on the right side, and two lobes on the right side, and a heart. So, the rishis understood the pranic aspect of air. Air and prana are like the capsule and the medicine in it. The capsule is air, the medicine is the prana. And how many pranas you have, the same capsule, maybe the same type of capsule, can be utilized for any number of medicines, is it not? So the same air, when it goes to these three and these two, is divided into five pranas. And those five pranas are expressed by these five fingers. That is where I wanted all of you to read that book. And when I say you read it, get home now and get that book and read it. You will read it like a novel. Which book? Twelve years. And if you understand that, you need only 1 year to become Sri Aurobindo. And when I say you become Sri Aurobindo, I am not saying the Aurobindo consciousness. When I say by reading Einstein's law you can become Einstein, I doesn't mean that in intelligence you will become Einstein. I say you can utilize the laws given out to him. Einstein is something which probably no man on earth can achieve. Probably, that is what the psychologists and scientists say. His brain is unique. So when I say in 1 year, and if you feel that you will become Sri Aurobindo, no. But what he gave to the world, you can utilize it. Because I want this to be very clear, because somehow I am very much disinclined to say that we are intelligentsia. We are all fools, great fools, if you alone. But because I am including there, don't become angry, I am in the group. Because you know, but you don't practice. And when you know and you don't practice, it only means you don't know. That is why probably Shakespeare said, one who knows that he knows not is a wise man. We think we know. What are we supposed to know? That we don't know. Then we will become wise. Whatever it is. These two properties, one of Brahmacharya and the other of Ishvara Pranidhana, are like the two lobes of the brain. One is the thinking brain and the other is the active brain. One is the abstract brain and the other is the concrete brain. One is the logical brain and the other is the intuitive brain. So this Brahmacharya means whatever action you are doing is a part of the universe. Your action, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, influences the universe. That is Brahmacharya, the real Brahmacharya. Brahmena charanti. When you are cosmic consciousness, when you are aware that any little action you do, even my scratching this, influences the world. Yeah, that is what you have to learn. When you go to the cosmic consciousness, you know. A small mistake by the military individual soldier may cost his life only. But suppose the Senapati does a wrong action, the same wrong action, what happens? The entire country is gone. Brahmacharya, you know, understand? So it depends on the plane of the consciousness where you are sitting. If you are a Senapati, it is cosmic, Brahmacharya. And in a small way, what you do is also a Brahmacharya because it influences your body, your Brahmanda. Am I clear? So a small Brahmanda is there, the miniature Brahmanda is there, your body, your thoughts, your emotions. Am I clear about the Brahmacharya aspect? Now, when you understand this aspect, that whatever you do is being influenced not only individually, but it has a cosmic influence. Am I safe sitting here? Am I safe?
Hopefully.
Ha! That is right. Right, right. And all of you are hopeful because you are not sitting here. What about Patel?
Huh?
Okay, Mike, okay, leave it. ఇప్పుడు మంచిది చల్లగా ఉందా? నా ఫ్రిడ్జ్లో ఉంది, చల్లగా ఉంది. వాట్ ఐ వాజ్ టెలింగ్ అబౌట్ బ్రహ్మచర్య, చర్య ఈజ్ అన్ యాక్షన్ విచ్ యూ డూ విత్ అన్ ఎఫర్ట్, చేష్ట. సో ఎనీ యాక్షన్ యూ డూ నోయింగ్ హౌ ఇట్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్స్ ద కాస్మాస్ is Brahmacharya. And for this sublimation is needed. Because when you are sitting in a responsible post, the selfish must be sublimated. If not, your decisions will go wrong. And in Brahmacharya, what do you want to do? The creative energy is to be sublimated. What is the creative energy in us? The sex energy. It is only the sex energy which procreates what is known as cloning. You get exact replica of us. And now, this creative aspect is something unconscious. We are not aware of it. The nature at a particular age opens the door for self-creation or procreation. Is it not? That is what is known as the puberty. You just don't know why it happens. The scientists say some hormonal changes, the estrogens and different things. It's okay. You are saying this is happening because of this. But why did it happen at that particular age? No answer. So the only answer scientists have is how. They can never answer why. They can't. They don't have an answer for why. Even though they say they are searching for an answer for why, and all the answers they get is how. It's okay, you are collecting a lot of data. Well, if you feel the sun, just move. Because all of you can't get Pavan Putras to help you. And probably he also can't go there. He is prepared to go, only the bed sheets are not available. Okay. So this sex energy has to be transmuted. ఈ ఎండగా ఉంటుందమ్మా పర్వాలేదా ఓకే లేకపోతే నాకు దగ్గరికి వచ్చి అప్పుడు ఏమంటారో తెలుసా వీళ్ళందరూ అంటారు మాకు అర్థం కావటం లేదు నేను మీకు తర్వాత చెప్తా లంచ్ అయ్యాక బిఫోర్ ఐ ఫినిష్ ఇట్ ఐ విల్ గివ్ యూ ఎ తెలుగు జస్ట్ ఓకే There the abstract mind comes. Even though they don't understand the words, they understand the feelings. Anyway, so Brahmacharya has a base in transmutation of the sex energy. But for a human being, nowadays I am seeing in the papers about what is that known in classes to be taken on sex education. This is a proof that things are moving in the correct direction, but the orientation is wrong. What they are talking about sex is something different from what we are talking. You are talking about the energy which makes you capable of procreation. And they are talking about the physical act. You understand the difference? So that has to be transformed. There is no other way. Because it is a form of creative energy which flows down to Mula, from Muladhara and Swadhisthana. That has to be brought and uplifted to the navel center. That is why I always try to remember you, the belly breathing. When you practice it, it should be so visible. But when you do it on the road in this, don't do this like that. No, you will unnecessarily draw attention. But you should be aware of the movements. For a few days you do it, it becomes. And when you do this, the real Brahmacharya you will understand, when the creative energies move from the Muladhara and Swadhisthana up towards the navel. And once it comes to the navel, it very easily reaches the Anahata and Vishuddhi. Very easily. The turning is difficult. But once it turns, everything falls in groove. How can you do that? The answer is Ishvara Pranidhana. This turning point, you accept nature does it for us. Is it not? You don't know the chemistry of it. You don't sit and meditate that now this hormone must be secreted, this hormone must be secreted, and then you will have this. Who has done it for you? Nature. And here also, the upward turning also must be through self-surrender, Ishvara Pranidhana. So this is the Karmendriya part, Brahmacharya, action. Charya is action. But even though you do the act, really who is supposed to do? Buddha Ishvara. Because even though the physical act is there, the child may be born or he not may be born. Why? Because we have just forgotten the synchronicity. The creative force of the wife must join the creative force of the husband to get a child. It now happens accidentally. That is where the time lab or somewhere we say we are not having the children, and we are having more children. Whatever you call it. So what should be there? There must be a synchronization between Brahmacharya and Ishvara Pranidhana. Daivam Chaivatra Panchamam. Bhagavad Gita, he says, you do all the necessary actions, but still the result is not in your hands. The poor farmer does all the actions required for him, but still if it is not rained properly, gone. That Daivam Chaivatra Panchamam, the fifth is Ishvara Pranidhana. Am I clear now? And when you think about Brahmacharya, Ishvara Pranidhana, you utilize these two fingers. And do you know what you are doing? You are doing Yajna. Because this is fire. In yogic terminology, thumb is the fire. And this is the air. So, you are fanning the fire. So all these acts have a great meaning. It is not just do it. If you just do it, it is the glycogen girl. You understand what I mean by the glycogen girl? Instead of telling entire always by example, you remember the glycogen girl. She put the step, prescribes, not knowing what the doctor father is doing. Similarly, Brahmacharya, Ishvara Pranidhana, this is glycogen girl, but it is essential. Because the glycogen is right. Even when the girl prescribes glycogen, the glycogen is right. But we don't know. Am I clear? So you practice this. Brahmacharya. Then Ishvara Pranidhana. Now you understand. All your actions, charyas, in the end, the result is not in your hands. And this very simply means the nishkama karma. Whatever actions you do, if you can do it without any desire. Because even if you do with desire, the result is not in your hands. Okay? So this is the concept of this particular movement of the hands. And how Sri Aurobindo could utilize it? And one more thing, have you heard about Meher Baba? Anyone of you heard about Meher Baba? Only that's all. You have not heard about Meher Baba? So why don't you lift your hands? You see now, the word has not taken flesh in here. Now, all of you be prepared for the word to make flesh. How many of you know Meher Baba? Okay. There, he worked with the so-called mad people, who are known as avadhutas, the musts, he said. We call them as avadhutas. Balavat, pishachavat, jadavat. That is how they behave. Like children, or like pishachas, or like mad people. what he did, from Hyderabad, he took a madman, the Avadhutas, one of the Avadhutas, not a really madman, but God intoxicated man. But for all practical purposes, he was a madman. He took him to his ashram at Pune, and there was a mango tree. So probably we are also practicing the same thing. And the world war was going. And one night, the Avadhuta rushed from his room and started climbing the tree and coming down saying, "I am France, I am France." And that night, Hitler lost his war from France. That was the turning point for the world war. So what I am trying to tell, it is not just that that book about Sri Aurobindo talks about a human being controlling the activities of the world. There are many sadhakas, Ramana Maharshi was there, who did it. And now what I mean, that only Ramana Maharshi did it and others didn't do it, it was a combined effort of all those great people at that time, which changed the world map. And we know only the front people. When you see a movie and feel happy, you become a fan of the hero, but that hero has done pranidhana to the director. The Ishara is the director. You understand now what I am trying to tell you? This is what you are trying to learn by this exercise. To become aware of cosmic consciousness, the mudras. So don't take it lightly, just because the consciousness must be joined with it. As I told you, the blade is nothing. But the hands in which it is, the knowledge with which you are using becomes important. If you don't know how to use it, your hands, it is dangerous for you. For a pickpocket, it is dangerous for us. But it is good for him. His bank balance increases. But if it is in a surgeon's hand, it is good for both. Cosmic. Keep that in mind and remember that all the five karmendriyas and gyanendriyas are interlinked in the universe. They are interlinked in the universe. So if you move this, the universe is moving. But anyway, you will slowly learn it, but practice it daily. Brahmacharya, Ishara Pranidhana. Then, see, you can tell me, being a teacher is so good, if I don't remember, I won't say I don't know. I will say, see it and tell me, what? I? Ahimsa is the most important one. Acha, you were talking about that. Okay, I will finish first the Yamas and then I will go to the Niyamas. So, Brahmacharya. And then Satya. Satya goes to the aid. Truth goes to the aid. Then you go to the Ahimsa. Then you go to the Asteya. That's good. And then, Aparigraha. These are the relationships with the society. You have a right relationship with the society. So if you practice this, what happens? All your diseases will vanish. That is why I am talking about it. Any disease is only because of a wrong relationship with the society according to Brahmacharya, according to Satya, according to Ahimsa, according to Asteya and according to Aparigraha. You know, grabbing more or eating more, what does it disturb? You eat more. What part of your body? Digestion. You understand now? And if you eat less, a very dangerous disease sets in. I don't know what is it, neuroxia or something. Huh? You got the point? And many children of ours, especially girls, take this warning. They are prone to this disease because they have become so body conscious that they are not eating properly and you allow it to happen. Many cases of inability to childbirth is because of this. Not eating properly. No overeating or not undereating. The nutrition aspect is important. So that is where I am talking about parigraha, aparigraha. So many of the stomach disorders are because of gathering more, whatever it is. Anything you gather, and those who gather money and properties a lot, certainly they have this gastric problems. And people come to see them, and all of them sit in the dining table, and that poor man can't eat anything. And those who come to see him eat everything. Aparigraha. Understand it. And stealing, whenever you cook anything for yourself, it is stealing. Ye pachan tyatma karanat sthena eva saha. That is what Krishna says, that whenever you cook your food only for yourself, you are a thief. Because you are breaking the cyclic law of nature. Yajna. And nowadays what happens? We always cook for ourselves. And if someone comes at the time of lunch or eating, we wait until he goes. And many hints will be given from behind your back and from behind that back. That man doesn't move. If you can just take one step forward, many of your problems of stealing will vanish. Invite him to food. Whenever whoever comes at the time of taking food, you should invite him. And don't cook extra food for him. You just share it what you have. What you have cooked, you can share it with two people without going hungry. Is it not? So if you can develop that, the stealing aspect will go. And many of us are real stealers from nature's bounty. It's very difficult, but if you go on doing this, someday you will understand it. What is this? This is aparigraha, and this is asteya. The food you eat is coming from nature's bounty. That much you accept. And you, when you get something and you do not return it, what will happen? The cycle breaks. And how do you do it? How do you multiply nature's bounty? By sowing. You sow the seed, it multiplies. When you eat it for yourself, it won't get multiplied. But when you sow it in others' belly, it multiplies. You got the principle? That is important. The life of Sai, Siddhi Sai especially, is the best example of these five Yamas and five Nimas. You just follow him, that's enough. Just follow him without understanding, it doesn't mind. That is why, subconsciously or superconsciously, his temples are growing. Whether you like it or not, he is competing with the Andhra God. And you just think it is because of a few people's idiocy that it is happening? Huh? Once when I was in Anantapur, who is that man, the Sri Lanka challenger, rationalist? Kovur. Abraham Kovur. He came, challenging Satsai. I was there. The Subramanian was. We were together at that time. The lawyer. So Kovur was sleeping in that hotel Mayura. It was newly built at that time. It was supposed to be a big hotel at Anantapur. And at that time I had no job and nothing, so I was roaming in the streets with my friends. So somebody told me that Kovur is there, why don't you accept his challenge? He said, I accepting the challenge. Satsai Baba is not accepting it. So my friend said, no, you should. He said, no, I can't do it. But anyway, just because we were at, near that hotel Mayura, like vagabonds, can I say? No job and nothing. Measuring the streets, that is what we say. We entered the hotel. Of course, Kovur was not there, he was sleeping. Some of his friends were there. And they said, there was nothing serious. We just entered, that's all. They were there, we entered into a talk. He said, we can also create the Vibhuti. I said, okay, you create it. They create it. And now you do one thing. Now that you are able to create this Vibhuti, you also become as great as such a Sai, and then tell me that you can do what he does. You are just following a simple action, and he also says that it is a miracle. I am not interested in it. It is only a means of pulling you towards me. And you follow it and you say that you are as great as that because you can imitate him. You build ashrams like that, become an international figure, at least a national figure or a town figure for that. You become a town figure. Do you know why I am telling this? Why I am telling this? Can you correlate? The right relationships. He is not stealing anything and you think he is holding it. If you know about the Satsai trust, at any moment he can be knocked out and legally he can't do anything. Legally. Morally and others, the entire devotees will be behind him. Because of what? Because he is able to do this? That's something else. What is that something? Asteya. Now you understand, when you can practice Asteya, that means you take only that much what you require. Then what happens? The entire cosmos will be behind you, not only a nation. And that is why for Shirdi Sai, we say Akhilanda Koti Brahmanda Nayaka, and you remember that is not just a lip service or a title which was bide. I mean, can I say it as bide or brought? Can you understand what I mean? He didn't pay this much amount so that he can buy it and you can give him that name. It is a spontaneous name given to his physical body because of what he is doing even now. You go to the temple because you get the results. And all those results are because of Asteya, you remember that. Then once you know and a man has a confidence that he does not steal, the all the ratnas are his. In Patanjali Yoga Sutras, these qualities are given with some vibhutis. Asteyat, when you practice Asteya, do you know what happens? The ratnas hidden in the ground are known. Because you will not misuse it. You will not buy and say it is mine. Or you don't do kabja also. So understand the lives of these masters and imitate them. All these lectures are only to force you to imitate the masters in the true spirit. Aparigraha, Asteya, Ahimsa. Ahimsa gives you freedom. At least we believe that it is a fact. We obtain Ahimsa without bloodshed, without a lot of bloodshed, just because of Ahimsa. And do you know, one of the masters says, the First World War, the Second World War, and all the wars that is going on planet Earth are because of the unkind words we use. There is nothing karmical in it. It is only because of the words we are using. Be careful about the words. Only three people have a right to use harsh words, unkind words. The mother, the father, and the guru, because they have the responsibility of molding your life. None else have a right to criticize anybody. Anybody, whatever they are doing. That is Ahimsa. You understand now what is Ahimsa? Ahimsa means in thought, word, and deed, nobody should be hurt. Practice it. And the wars will by themselves go. And especially, the mosquito bites are the results of your unkind words. You say the mosquitoes are growing big and big because the unkind words storehouse is growing big and big and big. And you criticize people who are not aware that you exist. You criticize the politicians, the actors. Poor fellow, he doesn't even know that we are criticizing them. Be careful about the word. The word is what all the scriptures say is the source of understanding life. And especially the troubles you get, Uchargan I am going to tell now. Words. Any trouble you get is because you have misused your words. Or you are misusing your words. Misused in the past. Misusing, and probably you are also misusing what we have for the future also. You can't wait until so you use unkind words for his possible future actions. You are going to do it. Got the point? It is a hint for many of the diseases. Ahimsa. Wrong use of words is one of the major causes of diseases. Wrong use of touch. Skin diseases. Wrong use of form and color. Eye diseases. You can understand now what I am telling. You have five indriyas. Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha. Any misuse results in the particular problem of that particular Karmendriya or Gyanendriya. So this practice of Ahimsas are not to make you ascetic but give you good health. Because until and unless you have a good health, you can't work so hard. Right from Atvabodha, you have to go to Tattvabodha and compress thousands of years of evolution in one day. You don't know what hard work you are supposed to put. You are not even understanding, or you are not even having a glimpse of what yogic life is. You are leaping a jump from a normal human being to a superhuman being in few years, which the earth is going to do in few thousands of years. or probably millions of years, probably. It will happen, the jump will happen. What yoga says is, if you are interested, you do it in few years. That is where this becomes very important. Until and unless you have these five indriyas and make it divine, divya indriyas, sparsha must become divine sparsha, divya sparsha. Shravana must become divine shravana. Similarly for all those five. For this you have to mould your indriyas, both indriyas, jnanendriyas and karmendriyas. The jnanendriyas give the relationship with the world, and these are the five: brahmacharya, satya, ahimsa, asteya and aparigraha. For this finger you use this, because fire is kindled by air. And now the fire enthusiasm must kindle them. That is yajna. Yesterday I told you about the principles of fire. Upasana. Now we go to the niyamas. You have five niyamas. Anyone finished the homework? What homework? Hotel hospital. Anyway, what part you are very clear. For vitality, for prana, give that link. Yes?
Temples?
Yagishala. What? You have to give the other part also. The other part, hotel, hospital. The other part, you say Yagishala and this and that. You are right, of course, no doubt about it. I don't know whether you are saying right in what sense I am thinking, you are thinking.
No,
I will think later. Now,
hospital counterpart is Yagishala.
No, hospital counterpart is hotel.
No, what I am saying is...
You are...
Hotel is going to Yagishala, hotel
becoming
hospital. So,
Yajna Shala
is like hospital.
I have to look for something. This part of it, okay.
The iron ore and
Yajna Shala. You can say maybe, no. Anyway, why I am telling about it, this is. Another homework I am going to give. Correlate these five yamas with the jnanendriyas. Jnanendriyas. Right relationship is outside. You know the other man only when you have a relationship. No?
Pitavajas,
personal. Ishvara Pranadhana is a very personal character. But brahmacharya is you have a relation with others. That is why it is charya, effort. What? Yeah, it depends. If you want to do a karmendriya without knowledge, it's okay. But for a karmendriya to become active, you should have knowledge. So knowledge is the real process, the jnanendriya.
Jnanendriya.
So these jnanendriyas are to be linked with these yamas. And now, niyamas. Again the homework stands. The emphasis changes. Relate the niyamas with the karmendriyas. The first is Ishvara Pranidhana. You surrender and let the divine give you the orders so that you can do the action. Karmendriya. For this, what you are supposed to do? Your brain must become quiescent. You should have no thoughts. So Ishvara Pranidhana means Karishye Vachanam Tava. Now I am not deciding anything. You decide and I do. Because that power which could... It's okay. that power which could give you these three bodies, beautiful bodies, the greatest machine, the greatest computer cannot compete with your brain. Even with the present day computers, it cannot compete with brain. God only knows if quantum physics can think about applying it, the computer technology, present computer technology, with black holes. Probably it may imitate the brain. And this data, I don't know, but this data is supplied from the books of, who is that man who wrote about the paralyzed scientist? He writes it in his books. No computer can compete with the brain, but it can if a computer engineer knows about the black holes and puts that black holes into the computer technology. That is what he has. I don't know what is a black hole and I don't know about computer technology, but I understand that it is something stupendous. And at present an impossibility. So that brain, you didn't create. And to that fact, all machines are nothing but imitations of the human body, the camera, the eye, the telephone, the ear. So whatever a scientist puts forward as a greatest invention is nothing but aping nature, imitating nature. Therefore, the common sense is surrender to Him. Ishvara Pranidhana. So when you are doing Ishvara Pranidhana, you are utilizing the most common sense. The most common sense is, let the greater power do. Ishvara Pranidhana, you understood now? And this Ishvara Pranidhana automatically gives you happiness, santosha. Wherever it keeps, you know that it is right. And now whatever troubles you have, whatever diseases we have, the first approach is be happy. Don't try to evade it. When I say this, and when Buddha said it, people misunderstood it. They thought that they have to suffer. No, who said you have to suffer? We are saying that a greater power has given you that suffering to learn something. And the moment you learn it, the suffering will be gone, whatever it is, whether a genetic disease or a disease for which the science has no cure now, or any disease. The thing is, be happy that you have the disease. And now what do you mean by being happy with the disease? Be happy with the suffering it gives, because in the suffering lies the clue to overcome it. So the disease has a clue. But if you want to avoid the disease and not understanding the clue, the disease will come in another form. That is the side effects of the medicine which the doctors say. They say it is the side effect of the medicine, and the yoga say it is not the side effect of the medicine. The medicine has cured the disease, because the scientists could understand that the physically that flaw comes because of the particular mineral or whatever that medicine is absent in the body, you give it. But what does the scientist, the yoga say? Somewhere your thinking process is wrong. Somewhere your desire process is wrong. And if you correct it, the disease will go. But what you have done, physically you wanted to avoid it. Just as, I don't know, I have never been into the mind of a cat. But people say, what does the cat think? If it closes its eyes, the cat thinks that nobody is seeing. I don't know, I don't think cat thinks like that. But probably those who are in previous births cats may be knowing more about it. So just closing your eyes and forgetting about the desire aspect and the thought aspect of the disease is the problem. And that problem can be solved only when you know that the intention of the nature is to help you, not to trouble you. When a teacher gives a problem, after he himself teaches you for 1 year various subjects, he gives you a problem, and do you think that the teacher is giving you a problem to make you suffer? Why is he going to give you that problem? So that he may test whether you have understood his teaching. So this suffering we are getting, whether it is an emotional suffering or a mental suffering or a physical suffering, all are interrelated. It is the thought and desire which gives you that suffering. And now, if you happily suffer it, if you happily go to the exam instead of avoiding the exam, you get the degree. And if you want to postpone the exam or if you want to avoid the exam, what happens? You will not grow. The same thing here also. Every suffering you have, every strained relationship you have, wherever there is a pressure on you, be happy. Because no examiner gives you a question paper until he has finished that syllabus. No, you are never tested for a subject in which you have not been taught. Is it not? So why do you think that nature is so innocent to test you in which you are not taught? So be happy that you are being tested for that particular disease, for that particular relationship. Am I clear? So, don't suffer. Try to solve the problem. When a good student gets a question paper, what does he do? He sees the problems and feels happy or disgusted? A good student always wants to face the examination. He never tries to postpone. But unfortunately, our attitude towards suffering has to be corrected. And for that you have to do swadhyaya. You are happy for the suffering, knowing that you have the capacity to solve it. And you remember, nature never gives a problem for which you are not educated. Never. But now, how am I to know about the source of the problem? In America, I think, while you are given a question paper, you are allowed to see the books also, and you are given 2 or 3 days time. You can go anywhere and you ask anybody, but you give the answers and submit it. So you can refer. Nature knows more about examinations than our examination system. It also allows you to refer the books, and it is known as Swadhyaya. Read books. Instead of a theoretical knowledge, unfortunately in yoga, we do the practice without knowing what it means. Never it happens in science. First time we allow the students to touch a test tube is after 11 years of studying chemistry from the lower sections, what we call as the natural sciences. In 7th class, 8th class, 9th class, 10th class, we are not allowed. Even in intermediate also, very limited practicals, but theory. And here all practicals, no theory. We do Sirsasana you should do Swadhyaya. And Swadhyaya is self-study. What you study, you apply to yourself. When you read the books, you apply it to you. Okay? Ishara Pranidhana. Surrendering to nature's all-knowing knowledge. Let it work through me. Next, be happy wherever you are placed. Never, never, never ask for a situation to be dissolved. If you do the Swadhyaya, it automatically dissolves. And do you know, many times I have found, just by doing Parayana, you get many results. Parayana is nothing but a mechanical Swadhyaya without understanding. And Mantra Japa is Swadhyaya of the same group of letters. Japa is nothing but Swadhyaya of the same group of letters. Japa, Swadhyaya. When you do Parayana in spiritualism, you don't understand what you are reading. But still it gives results. Because nature in its mind has the solution. The only thing required is your mind has to catch it. The expert opinion. Am I clear about it? So Swadhyaya. And after Swadhyaya, penance. Tapasya. And now, with understanding you bear it. You sit in the examination hall for 3 hours with understanding. You never say, 3 hours, how can I stand? You need more also. Some people, they don't give the answer scripts. Many times I have to scratch them. They want more. And here you don't want to sit. But if you understand it, you will sit for more time. You will not say, 1 mala of Gayatri, I will do it 10 malas. You should understand why you are doing and the result it gives. If not, you will say, three times is enough. You know that say, 1, 2, 3 is enough. So tapasya, allowing yourself the time to take for the situation to come under control. Even if you know the Swadhyaya and Santosha and Ishwar Pranidhana, the problem sometimes may take some time. And then what you have to do? Then you bear it. That is tapasya. But then you are doing it with understanding. It is not just saying, what can I do? Nature has given it to you. It is not an unhappy suffering. It is suffering with understanding. Indirectly, it is a tapasya with Swadhyaya and Ishwara Pranidhana. Clear? And sometimes, the teacher, but suppose I tell this, you will underestimate the teacher. Should I tell it? Huh? You want to underestimate me? What does that mean? What happens is, sometimes some teachers have a weak heart. I have a weak heart. What he does is, he gives the answers to the questions he put, but he never tells that I have given the answers. That's my weakness. So I have given the answers. For what questions? Should I tell the questions also? Yeah, with Jnanendriyas and Karmendriyas, if you are very clearly following it, you will understand the relationships. That is where my weakness is. Even when I tell it, probably I think you have not understood and tell that I have given it. But you are so great, you don't take others' help. No, you have told it. No, I will help by you. Okay, it's okay. So, Ishwara Pranidhana, Santosha, Swadhyaya. And now, when you did this, what happened? You are cleansed. Shaucha. And the cleansing part also you have to take it. If you should help nature. Purification aspect. So these 5, do you think what important, how important they are to understand the cosmic nature of our mind, the Brahmandiya nature of our mind, the divine nature of our mind. And now this divine nature. Now let me tell you about the asanas and avataras. This is over, you understood? Someone was asking me about Brahmacharya. It is clear? You people got the answer? Now the avataras. The descent. All of us know about a divine promise. yada yada hi dharmasya. Glanir bhavati bharata abhyatthanam madharmasya tadatmanam srijamya. But one particular descent which is doing it from the moment of our birth, unthanked, where we don't show a gratitude till the moment of our death, we are not aware of the descent, the breath. What does the breath do? Whenever there is a toxins, physical toxins also. But in yoga, when we talk about toxins, you think about the desire toxins and the thought toxins also. And more importance is to be given for the thought toxins. What is plaguing the world today is the unwanted, unnatural thought pattern. We are all habituated to think in a very, very, very wrong, self-oriented, I'm not saying selfish. The thought pattern we have is not wrong. Its orientation is wrong. Self-orientation is wrong. So I'm not criticizing. I'm not saying we are selfish. We have been taught to think like that. The pattern. The breath, the doctors say, it cleanses of the toxins. That is why we are alive. And the heart pumps blood. For 60,000 miles of blood vessels. Do you know the extension of the area of the blood vessels? Though compressed in a 6 feet tall form. For each pumping, the blood has to travel for 60,000 miles. If you can put the blood vessels. And whatever toxic material our cells gather, the oxygen part of the air removes it. And when it removes it, what comes out? The carbon dioxide. And see the beauty of nature. The carbon dioxide we don't want. So it has created a personality known as plant, which removes the carbon dioxide and lives because of that. This is a cycle, ye yagya. You have a carbon dioxide cycle in nature, okay. But here, now, what is happening? A coupling. We take what it gives, and I give, that is yajna, the cycle. So what is the greatest yajnas we are performing? Breathing. And what does the breathing say? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. The glani means unwanted toxins. So what does this breath do? It removes the unwanted toxins. Is it not? And when it removes the unwanted toxins, what is it doing? It is killing them. Is it not? What does this, the shloka say? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyatthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamya. So this adharma, adharma means a property which we don't want. Dharma means a property. Adharma means not a property which the body likes. If the toxins are there, you are diseased. So it removes. So what happens? This is given life. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskrutam. So that is what is happening. So the first descent is the breath into our body. Am I clear? And when you are aware of this process, you can remove the toxins in your vital body and also in your mental body by the same process. The breath physically purifies your physical body. then in the vital body what should it do? The same breath must purify your diseases. That is exactly what the exercises and asanas I have given you. But what should it be there? Your mind and desire also must be playing there. Then only it will work, is it not? So the breath is the source of life in all the three planes. Only when you are conscious of it. So the first is breath. And this breathing is allowing you to live. And what did I say? Gayatri means stability, to live, life itself. That is why the breathing process in yogic terminology is known as Ajapa Gayatri. Gayatri means life process. You are not conscious of this repetition. Japa is a repetition. Japa is a repetition. So this is the first avatara. And this avatara has been given the name Matsya. Matsya avatara. Why it has been given that name? We don't have time for it. You accept it. You can give any name, na? Say accept that our yogis gave this the name Matsya. And now I have a weakness. No. What is the weakness I said? I give answers also. And when I can't give you the answer, I will show you the source. Deho Devalaya, we have a CD. There these avatars are shown. Where the Matsya is in the blood. The breathing removes the toxins in the blood. You understand the link? But if you want to study that, Swadhyaya. I have proved true to my weakness. Huh? Now, after Matsya, what does it come? Kurma avatara. And what is Kurma avatara? You know? What was the main reason for the Kurma avatara? Churning what? Churning what? To get Amrita. But what did they churn? Ocean of what? Milk ocean. Kshirasagara Madhana, it is told. And now what is the milk for us? And where does the kurma lie? I won't tell about the milk aspect. But Mooladhara is the kurma. Mooladhara. And while churning it also, the kurma has become the Mooladhara. Are you clear about that? The mountain, to stay, it needed a base. The fundamental base. So it is known as Mooladhara. So that avatara is also in us, the Mooladhara chakra. And after that, which avatara comes? Varaha. What is Varaha? Boar. What did it do? From? See. We have succumbed to the desire ocean. And in science, yogic science, desires are always equated with water. Just as Mooladhara is the earth, desires are the water or the Swa-Adhisthana. But now it has not been Swa-Adhisthana. Adhisthana means you are the master. But what has now the physical body? It has succumbed to the desires. All of us succumb to the desires. And one of the most dangerous desires is to be lazy. We want to be lazy inherently. Inherently, whenever I see that movie of the Ramsey brothers, you ever see the movies? Or you are too good that you don't see movies? Too good underlined. her offense, right. You know what happens? Her offense is always indicated by the door. In a horror film, when a door opens, what happens? A beautiful sound comes. And when you start thinking, I hear those sounds. The creaking noise of your brain cells are trying to open to this. It is a horror film for you. You understand what I am trying to tell? You are succumbing to the desires that created the horror. You fear nature, you fear the day. Vara, aha. Aha means day, vara means good. So a day can become good only when this physical body is lifted upon the two tusks of Ida and Pingala, above the waters of the desire. We have already done that by Yama and Niyama. At least today is a Varaha Avatar, a good day. If we continue it, every day will be a Varaha Avatar. Okay? You try to understand what our yogic people, the scientists, by naming it with a particular species, they have given you a lot of understanding, but unfortunately, we equate the species, but we have forgotten the attributes. We say go, but we have forgotten that cow is a symbol of purity. Always, whenever a purity has to be there, the cow has to be there. Because it is nothing but a thought taken form. All animals, all metals, and all our bodies, everything is nothing but thought taken form. Even the scientific discoveries are nothing but their thoughts taking form. All instruments, scientific instruments, what are they? Their thoughts taking a physical form. And what you are doing? You are using those physical forms, is it not? So don't you think that a yogi can do that with animals? Am I clear? If the humanity can use the product, the thought product of a scientist, even though he cannot think like him, everyone cannot think and create a telephone. That is the credit of Bell. Okay. But once the thought has taken a physical form, everyone can use it. Is it not? So what do the yogis do? They take the thoughts, created thoughts of a plant, of an animal. And where do you get greatest number of trees and animals? In Bangalore? In forest. So where should the yogi go? To this farmhouse. Where there are a lot of plants, right? It's okay. Now you know why some yogis have to go to the forest? You have to go when you understand and utilize the trees and the animals living there. So Varaha, the board, that is where a sidestep, but I think it will give you a great information. If you know how to utilize the animals, there are five animals which dominate human evolution. The bullocks, they are very important for agriculture, and it is a symbol of dharma and patience. So if you want to develop patience, what should you do? You should go and live in a bullock or an oxen, what is it? Correct? Am I right about the word? You understood? But now we have a means. You have the videos. So you can have the cows and bullocks, whatever number you want, and plates for 5 minutes, and go into the spirit of the animals. And everywhere you remember, every divinity has an animal as its vahana. Try to understand that. So if that divinity has to descend into you, a vahana means a conductor. The copper wire is a vahana for electricity. A plastic wire is not a vahana of electricity. In that way you should understand the vahanas. And you have many asanas for vahanas. The best conductor for divine attributes is Padmasana. And our yogis were so clear in their understanding that without a lotus, you never have an idol of divinity. They have a meaning there. What is the meaning? You should go beyond thoughts. The mud, physical, the water, emotional and astral. And what does the lotus do? Even though it is in the mud and water, where is it oriented? Towards the real thoughts. That is how you have supposed to use the avataras. How it descends into your body. The first avatara is the Matsyavatara, is a part of the breathing pattern which cleanses. The second avatara, Varahavatara, is the Mooladhara, which gives basis for your life. Without the Mooladhara, you can't develop. And then the Swadhisthana, the waters of desire, you have to master it. And how can you master waters? How can you remove the dirt in water? By heat. When you boil water, the dust remains behind. The pure water goes up. That is Manipurika, fire. So when Manipurika acts on the lower natures, you become purified. And how do you become purified? By the Ida and Pingala, the two, what do you call it, tusks or teeth, whatever you call it, you understand, on the dhamstra of the bow, the Ida and Pingala. The lower nature, the desired nature must be uplifted. And that can be done by Manipuraka. The Mandhana, the Ida and Pingala. And there you have been advised to do the Nadi Shodhana Pranayama. You have been told that? You do it regularly for 5 minutes. Don't do it more. Loma Viloma, okay. Loma Viloma Pranayama or Nadi Shodhana means the same thing. Now you understand Varaha Avatara? All this I am going to tell you for the Kalki Avatara introduction. Because you have already got it, but you are not using it. You have to use it before the Kalki Avatara descends, the 10th Avatara. We have another class or this is the last class? So I will come up to that point and stop. Narasimhavatara, you are right. Narasimhavatara is half animal, half human. The Sphinx is also the same thing. Sphinx in the that which is before the pyramids. This Narasimhavatara is that until and unless you become violent, you cannot remove these ideas that are present as a dust or toxins in your mental plane. You have to fight for them. You should be violent. You should have the gut feeling. And now, there are Hiranyakashipa and Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha is the boar. The boar killed Hiranyaksha. Aksha means axis. Hiranyaksha means when gold is the axis, when money is the axis of all your thoughts. And now Narasimha Avatara, what is it? Hiranyakashipa. When only you see money, you work. It is not the axis. You won't do. I will operate only. All these are Hiranyakashipas. And until and unless you are given some money, if you don't work, who are you? And where is that borderline lies? Hiranyakashipa says, only that can kill me who is right? The diaphragm is the border. From, you know where he was killed? He was neither killed in a room nor outside. He was killed on the border. So this is the border. And what did he do? He opened the border. And that can only be done from your nails. It cannot be done by any other, what we say? Instrument, weapon. He said he can't be killed with any weapon. Huh? Kha also means Akasha. Tham is one of the names of Akasha. And what is the property of Akasha? Sound or words. Nakha means what? No sound. Silence. So when your mind goes into silence, then only your mind's toxins can be removed. Till then, until and unless you understand the beauty of silence, where the silence becomes a natural field for Narasimha Avatara. Many yogis have given different interpretations for it, but in the end what you require is silence. Mauna Vyakhya. Silence is the Vyakhya, means commentary. Commentary means a commentary is given for which you don't understand and you need commentary. So the commentary for Mauna Vyakhya, you understand now? For what? Divinity. For divinity, silence is the commentary. And suddenly what happens? You transcend this barrier. And how do you do it? What is this? The nakhas. Is it not? Very great techniques are being revealed, but slowly you have to understand it. That is where I want you people to form a group and read it. You just don't say you know it, and I am also saying I know it. I am trying to understand it, and whatever I have understood, I am telling you. Okay? Narasimha Avatara. So, Narasimha Avatara is actually neither the Manipuraka nor the Anahata. What is it? The boulder. Neither human nor animal. So we have utilized first an animal known as Matsya, then an animal known as Kurma, then Varaha, then a lion, but which is half human. Then we go to Vamana, Angushta Matra, the Lilliput. Where does it stay, the Angushta Matra Purusha? In the heart. But he is still a small one. But don't think he is small, he is controlling the entire universe. The Vamana Avatara. But for this Vamanavatara to have his three steps, he needs a bali. And unfortunately, when we use this word bali, we think of slaughtering an animal. Unfortunate. It is wrong. No yogi worth his salt, and who talks about ahimsa, and he says even a wrong thought is not supposed to be there, which hurts others, is prepared to kill an animal. So somewhere, our thinking process has gone wrong. Bali is also known as a tax payment. We don't like to pay tax and you evade, that says something else. But you know the tax payment is very good because of the taxes the society is run. You may evade the tax. So what is bali? A tax payment. And we pay the tax through bali in the yajñas. And that bali, we have four types of yajñas. The avimedha, the ajamedha, the naramedha, and the sarvamedha. So these four medha, bali, paying tax to the universe, you have to finish it. You have to learn it. And that you can't do it. The Vamana in you can do it. Who is the Vamana? The Angushta Matra Purusha. And in some literatures, it is known as the psychic being. The small man. The self-centered man. The man who is utilizing these three bodies. He's a very small man when compared to the cosmos. He stays in the heart. And this Vamanavatara grows into a Parashurama. Ramo, Ramascha, Ramascha. You have three Ramas to make it more confusing. One is the Parashurama, and then the other is the Sri Rama, and then is the Balarama. Three in one. So what does it three in one mean? The moment you pay taxes, the taxes are gathered from all Vamanas. Who are the Vamanas? All of us are Vamanas, and the chief minister and his ministers are Parashuramas, the grabbingers. Literally also they are true. So what do these Parashuramas do? What are they supposed to do? Utilize the tax properly. And if you don't utilize the tax properly, what should you do? Let the Parashurama descend. I will tell you later about the, how you can make a particular avatara to descend. The first four, they were descended by the breath. And now, this Parashurama descends from the mind. The Parashu is the axe of knowledge. If you are intelligent enough, if the activities are properly exposed, what happens? Automatically things fall in line. That is Parashurama, where the wrongdoers are exposed. That is the first step. What is the next step? They should know their limitations. That is the Rama. Maryada Purushottam. It is not that everybody can do whatever he wants. Everyone has his own limitations. The Rama consciousness. And third, the limited man must grow. He should become a Balarama. But it is the attributes of Vamana himself. The Vamana is converted into a Parashurama. An example is Sri Aurobindo. He was vexed with what is happening in the society. He took up the axe, the revolution, Parashurama. Then he understood there is a better way of tackling the revolution. he went into the yoga aspect, that is the Rama aspect. And once he understood the Rama aspect, he utilized the strength of that knowledge, Balarama. So these three avatars are one and the same. And how do you get it? By Karma Yoga. The revolution is physical, the Karma Yoga. And then Bhakti Yoga, the heart. And then Jnana Yoga, the brain. So the Karma Yoga is Parashurama, the Bhakti Yoga is Rama, and the Jnana Yoga is Balarama. And we always say that pen is mightier than sword. So the Balarama aspect is very clear in Jnana Yoga. The heart. But now the heart has four chambers. We talked only about three. What about the fourth? The fourth is Krishna. And this Krishna has a Purvardha and a Uttarardha. Purvardha, you understand? The first half. Uttarardha is the next half. If you go to a movie, Purvardha is before interval. Uttarardha is, and now Buddha is before interval. And now we have touched the interval. And now, what actually Buddha is? Three yogas we have understood as the three avatars in our consciousness. The Karma Yoga, the Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga. Indirectly, the physical body's actions, the heart and the thoughts and mind. And now, there is an aspect of mind which is known as the Vijnanamaya Kosha, which can be understood only when you use Buddhi, not mind. That is Buddha. So the entire aspects of Buddha is a process of calming your mind, stilling your mind, so that some intuition may dawn in you. Buddha. Buddham charanam gacchami. I go into this surrendering of the intuition, into the mind, higher mind's level. Buddha. The Sahasrara Chakra. And then what happens? Krishna comes. And what is Krishna? The silence, the Sakshi. In our consciousness, by your own methods, you can reach up to the Krishna consciousness. By your own methods, that is what we are trying to do. And what is Krishna consciousness? Above Buddha, avatara, the border like the diaphragm, Narasimha, and then the Kalki avatara, after Krishna. You understand? And all the descents are in you. The avatarana is happening in you, and as the avatara is descending in you, your field of action is increasing. And if the field of action is not increasing, and you talk about avatars, it is nonsense. It is only a hallucination. So, and what should be done? The avatarana must be into your body. Now the Buddha is an avatarana of the Sahasrara Siddhi. The descent of the life principle into your brains. And now what is supposed to do? You should understand what is Krishna. It is something like the diaphragm. The brain is below the diaphragm and above the brain is the diaphragm. Just like a diaphragm. We try to understand it by how Krishna lived. The entire life is Krishna. If you understand, is an approach towards the descent of Krishna in you. The ISKCON, if you understand what I mean by ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is a medium for that Krishna consciousness to descend. And unfortunately, we restrict it to a particular organization. An engineering college is an engineering college which is restricted to a particular geographical area. But the engineer is not restricted. Unfortunate, highly unfortunate, how we go wrong. If you can understand how the ISKCON has made Krishna consciousness to descend easier, we should integrate it with our purposes. What is our purpose now? To understand the Kalki avatar after Krishna. But you can understand the Kalki avatar only when you understand the Krishna. And what is Krishna? He is the Sakshi. He never takes up a weapon. He advises. If you accept it, okay. If you don't accept it, he says, Yadi Ichchasi Tatha Kuru. He is not even angered. I telling you and you not following me, what is this? No, no anger. I am telling it. Yadi Ichchasi Tatha Kuru. But what does he say? Karmanye vadhikaraste mafaleshu kadachana. You have a right only to act. So this is the spirit when we can develop a sakshi bhava towards the entire world, but not stopping actions. When a yogi goes into a trance, he stops actions. That is not Krishna consciousness. You have to work, you have to think, you have to assess what is wrong and right. And you have to get the adesha, the divine inspiration, and then act. And even when you are acting, you be a witness. That is Krishna consciousness. And now when the Krishna consciousness, the witness consciousness, takes hold of you, then only can the Kalki descend on you. But this Kalki naturally cannot be in a human form. Cannot be. So if you look for a Kalki avatara in a human body, you are looking at a wrong direction. The human body may be one of the instruments of Kalki avatara, but he can't be the Kalki avatara. If you understand the theory of Kalki, the avatara consciousness, you can understand why I say a Kalki avatara cannot come below the mental planes. It can't. Because with Buddha the Sahasrara Siddhi is over. That is the highest physical aspect. After that, the borderland, Krishna. And after that, for that level of consciousness, Purusha Sukta gives you an idea where we talk about Yajna Purusha. What Sri Aurobindo talks about, the triumph path of sacrifice, ascent 1 and ascent 2 of sacrifice. That Purusha Sukta says as the Yajna Purusha. Yesterday I have given you about the Deepa Yajna. And when this Yajna can become a Purusha, and his activities become the activities of Ashwamedha Yajna, it becomes Kalki Avatar. Okay? So I have given you a hint about Kalki Avatar. And after the lunch, we will go into the Ashwamedha Yajna. And luckily for Bangaloreans, Karnataka people, on 2008 you are going to have Ashwamedha Yajna. And I hope you become the nucleus for it.